All right, well, feels like it's been a quick week, but we're, closing it up here, so. You ready to go Sunday night?
Offensively for them, Bill, they're pretty much three receivers.
Pretty much.
And for the tight end, Thomas, you see him blocking a lot on the line, or is he more of a receiver playing tight end?
I think in their offense, they do whatever the play is, so they use everybody to kind of do everything. Depends on what they want to get done and how much they're trying to, a particular game or a particular situation, what they need a guy to do, then that's what he does.
Is he similar to any of the tight ends that Peyton's worked with in the past?
Probably a better question for Peyton, to tell you the truth.
I don't know if he just reminded you of anybody in particular.
Nobody right offhand. I mean, like Dallas Clark and those guys, not right off the top of my head.
Defensively for them, is this, with Del Rio, is it the same stuff that he was doing in Jacksonville? I mean, obviously personnel is different, but I mean, same type of scheme?
No, I wouldn't say that. I'd say it's, there's obviously, I don't really know who's making the call or who's influencing who, but no, I'd say they're much more of a man coverage team. And John, I'm sure, has some input or whatever. Again, I don't know the inner workings of their defense. But, no, I wouldn't say it's Jacksonville's defense.
Bill, I think one of the things you've said about Peyton in the past is that he's an expert at trying to catch you defensively on the field with a group maybe that would not be advantageous for you, the defense. Is he still just as good as at keeping the defense on the field and minimizing the amount of substitution you can do?
If he can. I think that's harder for everybody to do now because of the way the game's being officiated. You just don't see that as much anymore. Some, but not, I don't think, as much as you did. It's a lot easier to substitute than what it used to be. So there have been a couple examples of it, but I think it was much more frequent and, it was much more of a problem for defenses to substitute, in previous years than what it's been this year. Been at all our games, it's not, it hasn't really, you see a lot of times they run guys on and off in between plays, and it's not really that big of a problem. So,
does that help the defense overall, do you think, around the league, that rule change or that modification?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely easier to substitute. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's easier. There's times where you could still get caught depending on, the type of play and where the ball is and, which hash it's on and things like that, how far you actually have to go to make the exchange. But it's a lot easier. There's a lot more time, and it's a lot easier than it used to be.
Several of the rookies we've seen make an impact, but at least on defense, we haven't seen a lot of Jamie Collins. Are you seeing growth from him in practice, and can we expect maybe to see more of him as the season goes on?
I think he's definitely making progress, absolutely. It's better each week.
I know he's been playing a lot on special teams, but defensively, is it just a matter of matchups to this point, or maybe he's not quite ready?
Game plan situation. No, I wouldn't. I think he's doing it. I think he's improving. I think he's doing a good job. We have other players at that position. Some game plan things. So if we put him in the game, we'll have confidence in playing him. I can tell you that.
Bill, Trendon Holliday obviously is a dangerous kick returner. What stands out about him besides the speed? And is there somebody comparable that you've seen in the past?
I think he's got a real good combination of skills. He's tough. That's, I'd say, the big thing. You know, he's tough. He doesn't mind running up inside or taking a hit, that kind of thing. So it's not all, you know, just run to the sideline, you know, kind of like in the, you know, Ted Ginn's a speed guy, and, you know, he tried to get a lot of his speed outside. I mean, Holiday can definitely get outside, and he's got a lot of speed, but he gets a lot of plays up inside, too, where people overplay him. And he's quick, and he's tough, and he's fast. He's got good vision. So I mean, those things are all good. I mean, he's obviously not a very big guy, and, you know, there's some other issues, but he's, you know, he's an explosive player that can really score on any type of return, inside return, outside return. You know, he'll run right up the middle and, you know, split the coverage as well as try to outrun him down the sideline.
And with Josh being a guy who's put into that role against Carolina, how difficult is the transformation? What are the things they have, the young guy has to learn when he becomes a kick returner? Maybe he didn't do a lot in college. Or, you know, it's not just catching the ball and running fast, I guess.
Talking about kick returns or punt returns?
Kick returns.
Well, I mean, a big part of it is certainly judging the ball, you know, the flight of the ball, the timing of the return, the judgment coming out of the end zone, which, you know, there's so many kicks in the NFL that are in the end zone, even the ones that are brought out a lot of times are, you know, multiple yards deep. So, you know, there's all those judgments, and then there's, you know, understanding how to set up the blocks on the blocking pattern of the return. You know, it's not really just run into daylight. That's, you know, wherever he runs, everybody else goes to. So it's being able to set up the blocks for the guys in the wedge or on the front line, so that they can, you know, keep leverage on the defenders, and then he can cut off them. And, you know, when you're blocking on a kick return, if you don't know where the runner is, then it's really hard for you to put yourself in position between yourself and the defender to make the block if he can, you know, kind of runs, you know, in different directions. But if he runs to a certain point, then you can position yourself so that you can, you know, get between your man and where he is going to end up. Maybe that's where he's going, or maybe it's where he starts, but then he, you know, the design is to run somewhere else, that you're able to position yourself between the man and where the runner is. So there's a discipline and a timing and a setting of those blocks up that's important for those guys to get. I mean, whether they get that in college, I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know what they've been told in college at different schools, but I just know that's, you know, the fundamental of a good kickoff returner is to be able to, you know, handle the ball cleanly, you know, have explosive speed and decision making, set up the blocks, and then when there's a seam, you know, get through it.
Important is the role of, it's usually been Slater, but the guy in front of the kick returner. I mean, it seems like there's a lot of times when Slater or whoever will turn back and say, don't return it or whatever, but is that role more complicated than we might realize?
Yeah, I'd say that's definitely a key role on the team. It's sort of like the, if you will, like the personal protector on the punt team. It's the last line of defense for the returner. So, you know, A, there's the judgment on the ball handling, but, you know, even if it's just a normal, you know, kick and we know who's going to get it, the short returner, you know, usually depending on what the return is, has different responsibilities. Sometimes he, you know, cleans up on block, sometimes he's assigned to a specific guy, but usually when he's assigned to a specific guy, he normally would have to weave his way through some traffic like the wedge or, you know, another coverage player to get to his assignment. I mean, you don't want him blocking the first guy down because there would be too much penetration. So, you know, normally he's on more of a second level player, or he's looking to take some kind of leakage from, so if you're on the right return, maybe he takes the leakage from the left side so that nobody catches the returner from behind. But, you know, he has to make that decision of, is the guy close enough, or can we bypass him and go to somebody else? And, again, that all gets into the relationship between him and the returner and the track that the returner is on, you know, and being able to, you know where he is, know what, you know, who you have to block, who you don't have to block, and then making decisions on terms of getting to your man through traffic, you know, so that you can, you know, make get to your assignment without screwing the returner up. So I'd say there's definitely a lot to that position. It's a hard position to play. It's kind of a combination of being, you know, the fullback in the running game, but you're dealing with a lot more space and a lot more decision making. You know, sometimes those guys are reading, you know, 3, 4, 5 different people, you know, on one play, depending on what happens. You know, somebody shows, they take them. If nobody shows, then I'm blocking this guy, but I've got to work my way up to that guy.
Bill, is there maybe some carryover this week in terms of the offensive line dealing with linebackers who are sort of speed-based and how they deal with those on
plays? Yeah, we've seen a lot of teams with fast linebackers. Yeah, I mean, I'd say, you know, Denver, I mean, these guys definitely, you know, can run. Woodyard and Trevathan, I mean, they're very fast. We've seen fast guys. I'd say probably about half the teams we've played, you know, have guys that are, I would say, on the upper end of the on the speed scale.
Does that change a lot schematically, or is it just, you know, you got to get there faster to the
block? Yeah, well, I think when you put together your running game, you have to, you know, take that into consideration that, you know, it's hard to, you know, if I'm blocking a guy, you know, blocking a guy in front of me, and, you know, it's a fast guy, I might have a hard time getting to him, whereas if you have him leveraged, then, you know, then speed's not as much of a factor because, you know, you have the angle on him. There's other guys that, you know, we play that we feel like we can get to, you know, that we can get up and get to them because they're not either not that fast or they don't pursue that quickly, that they're more of a, you know, type of a tempo player that, I don't say plays behind the ball, but, you know, plays more, you know, at or behind the ball. So that, you know, now, again, no matter what type of guy you play, depending on what they have called and what the play is, sometimes that'll change everything. You know, there's some plays where they go fast and there's other plays where they go slow because, you know, there are other people in that spot in the defense. So, you know, there's, I mean, there's always an element of it's never always the same, but no, those guys are challenging. They're good in space, you know, screen plays and, you know, check downs and things like that. A lot of times you see a guy catch the ball and it'll look like, oh, this guy's got some room, and then all of a sudden it converges and, you know, there's not much there. But, that's true of Kuechly and Davis too.
Bill, when you're dealing with Peyton Manning and quarterback, like his intelligence, how much pre-snap disguising can you do?
Well, you better do a good job of it or it's going to be a long day. I mean, you have to.
Does it come to a point where you say, you know what, we better stop trying to disguise stuff and just get into what we're trying to get into?
Well, I mean, you can do that. It's the question whether you can hold up in it or not. But I'd say the odds of that aren't great, to be honest with you. I mean, usually when he sees what it is, you know, he gets to the play he wants to get to. And, I mean, I would say they've had a lot of big plays on plays like that.
He
sees a blitz, calls a tear screen to Demaryius Thomas, and he goes 75 yards for a touchdown. I mean, you know, you can be in whatever you want to be in, but if they have a play to beat it, and it's well executed, which it frequently is with Denver, you're just playing right into their hands. I mean, they've been waiting all day to run the play against that situation. You tell them, okay, here we are. We're going to be in, you know, cover 2 zone. Go ahead and run your best play. Well, they will. You know, we're going to be in man free, or we're going to be in blitz, or, you know, we're going to be in man under 2 deep. You know, what are you going to do about it? Well, they can usually do something about it, you know. So I mean, I don't really think anybody's had a lot of success playing them that way, you know. Now, if you had all, you know, if you just out personnel them at every position across the board and say, okay, you know, we're all just going to lock up on one guy, we're going to take everybody, and, you know, we don't care that they know where we are because we're that good. I just don't think anybody's been able to do that. I mean,
it's harder to
They scored like, I don't know, they scored more points than anybody in football. I mean, so I'm just saying it's hard to do. You know, it's hard to match, you know, somewhere along the line they've got a good matchup if they know exactly what you're in. So I don't think anybody's played them that way very effectively in whatever it is they've tried to play, man, zone, blitz, man free, two deep man, two deep zone, three deep zone, three man rush. I mean, if you tell them what you're in, I think you're probably not going to like the way it's going to end up. Now, you know, sometimes it's situational. So, you know, then sometimes you got to live with that. But I don't think down after down anybody's really had much success doing that.
Is there an art to defensive masking that goes on out there? I mean, you can't have two guys just running around.
No, absolutely. It's got to be, you know, coordinated as a team. I mean, you can't have one guy disguising one thing and somebody else disguising somebody else. A good quarterback would probably be able to figure out basically what you're trying to do and see that one guy is way out of position. I mean, you have to be very well coordinated on that. And because what they do with the cadence, they make it hard for you to do that. Sometimes they run up and snap the ball real quickly, so it forces you to get lined up. Other times they go up there and then they delay and, you know, check the play and, you know, get into a formation that kind of makes you declare so they can see what you're in, then get to the play they want to get to and go at a very slow pace. So, you know, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to over disguise because if they go quick, then, you know, you could be way out of position. And he does a real good job of that, of changing the tempo to kind of force the defense to show what they're in so he can, you know, get to it. And then obviously the plays they go quick on, they don't really care what the defense is in because they're kind of all-purpose plays that, you know, no matter what they're in, they kind of have an answer on the play somehow, you know.
Do you want the players to avoid listening to his checks at the line because they could change or dummy calls or anything like that? Or is there some value?
We'll see how it goes Sunday night, but I would say normally at home it's hard for the defense to hear the offensive calls. It's hard for the offense to hear them, and it's hard for the defense to hear them. It's hard for the defense to hear the defense's calls if there's crowd noise, which, I mean, sometimes there is, sometimes there isn't. But I'd say it's the same thing playing on the road, that it's hard enough for us to hear what we're trying to tell each other when the quarterback's, you know, turn around and actually talking to the guy. You're standing 5 yards away to try to hear him. It's pretty difficult. I mean, that's been my experience. So, for example, when we used to play Indianapolis in Indianapolis, you could hear what he was saying there, but here it was much harder to do that. I would say, you know, most of the time. I mean, you could never count on it, let's say that. You know, you might hear something because it was quiet at a certain point, but you could never count on, well, we'll be able to hear this or we'll be able to hear that, because it's too many times and you just can't. Crowd noise is just as big a problem for the defense as it is for the offense, you know, in trying to communicate. So
it's going to be cold. How far will people be up in the luxury?
There's plenty of times, you know, on the road offensively that crowd noise isn't an issue, and there's plenty of times, you know, at home crowd noise isn't an issue, you know. But there's times when it is, and you know, you just have to be prepared on that side of the ball, you know, whichever side of it you're on, whichever game you're playing, that, you know, you're going to have to deal with it at some point. But it's not, you know, 100% of the time on every play, in my experience. Except if you get into a game, you know, at a kind of a neutral site, you know, like the Super Bowl, then you kind of have noise on every play all the time that, you know, the decibel level goes up and down, but it's always pretty high. So, you know, there's no home team. I mean, but that's obviously much more of an exception than rule.
London, too, with the fans cheering.
Yeah, when they do the wave and... Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. Okay.